I'm going to call the IBISB committee together. Today is Wednesday, January 17, 2018, and this is the first meeting of the new year for the IBISB committee. We want to welcome Will Nathan to our committee and look forward to having him work with us as we go forward. I'll now take the roll call. Stanley Stern is here, Fred Miller is here, Rob Page is here, Kathy Snodden is here, Will Nathan is here, and Carrie Gufferson is here. Douglas Dunn, our consul liaison, is here, and Nina is capably handling everything for us. Very good. The approval of the minutes for November 9, 2017, which was a special meeting in which Kimber spoke. May I have a motion for approval of the minutes?
I'll make the approval.
Motion, is there a second, please? Second, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
The minutes are approved. Our first item is a discussion with Kimber Lanning regarding the upcoming meeting with the BISB community to discuss Local First Arizona survey of 64 individuals done in BISB. And we're going to hear from Kimber, and this will lead us towards a proposal from Kimber and her group. So Kimber, it is yours. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. I need to do a call for the public. Oh. Is there a person who wants a call for the public? Seeing none, we'll move forward. I apologize. Kimber, it's yours.
No problem. So my goal in being here today, first of all, I'd like to thank the committee for their incredible feedback on the work that's been done so far. Your contribution has been invaluable, and I think we all agree that the next steps that we take moving forward are critically important. In my mind, we have three, I wouldn't call them issues, three subjects that we need to address so that we can all be on the same page going forward. Stan did forward to me the list of names that you all created. Many of the folks on that list, and Stan, do you have the list or not? Because I'm unable to get online, yeah. So there are many names there that I am not familiar with, which isn't necessarily surprising. But I wanted to just recap and maybe hear from some of you. The names that you submitted, can you tell me a little bit about, you don't have to name any names, but what was on your mind? What just like popcorn, go off and say, what kind of characteristics were you hopeful that you were gleaning with the names that you submitted?
Rob, why don't we start with you since you're closest.
Do we have a list of names?
Yeah. You don't want the names of the people that we chose? So the people that I chose were people that have already accomplished quite a bit in the community. They had a pretty good pulse on the community and were more than likely willing to step up.
Okay, so if I can just recap there, you were accomplished.
Uh-huh.
Willing to do the work, worker bees,
mm-hmm.
and tuned in.
Yeah.
Okay. Who's next?
Kathy.
I guess my biggest thing was trying to get people under 60.
Okay.
Who have a long-term investment in the community, because those of us in our 60s and 70s aren't going to be around as long as those of us in our 40s and 50s.
Sure.
And I looked for that, people with an investment in the community, and people who would be willing in over the next 10 years to push this forward.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Okay.
Carrie?
I work with Stanley, but I was looking for a diversity of voices.
Yep.
And ages and groups. And it went from people that are making an impact in this community to people that could, to people that have perspectives on BISB that I think need to be heard from somebody. A good example is somebody who started at my museum in community service for making a mistake in his life. But he's very passionate about BISB, and I think he needs to be heard.
Say that again one more time.
He came to me for community service.
Okay.
To volunteer at the museum to work off community service. And
okay.
I'm really impressed with this person.
Okay.
And where he's coming from and what he has to say.
Mm-hmm.
And his perspective. So it was those kind of voices I wanted to get on. Also looking at different ages and different parts of BISB's personality.
So not your typical list. You kind of went deeper than that.
Yeah.
Right.
You have the mover shakers.
Yeah.
think some of us are getting tired. And we need to bring people on board to continue this work.
Okay.
Fred?
Much of the same. I looked for younger people, people with certain kinds of skills that would be beneficial, people that live in different parts of Bisbee, trying to get the three wards and a couple other places represented, people that don't necessarily volunteer for things, but would do stuff if asked. Those were the kind of the main qualifications. Some business, some resident.
Okay. Who else?
Well, I put a list of city councilmen, mayor and city councilmen, as well as key, kind of the key staff people.
Okay.
Top two or three.
Stan, anything to add?
I worked with Carrie, and our objective, as Carrie indicated, was to get some diversity into the group and explore with people who are not normally considered working within our city. I also feel very strongly that when we send out our invitation, that we invite people to bring associates and other people that they feel would find this to be interesting and might want to work on projects. So simply to expand and not look like we have just cherry-picked.
You don't want to make it exclusive, you want to make it inclusive.
Exactly. I want to be broad.
Okay. Okay, so we can work on crafting that language so that you don't necessarily end up with every Tom, Dick, and Harry, even though every Tom, Dick, and Harry feels like they've been invited. But we understand that the people that want to come have a distinct interest in the future, and they may be asked at any given time to pick up a load and carry it.
and by putting it into the invitation, we spread it so we have the opportunity. I just don't want us to look like we're an equalitarian group. I want us to really make sure we have everybody have a chance.
Great. And Stan, talk to me a little bit about, and this is one of the things that we touched on before I left last time, and that is, I think Carrie was the astute one who pointed out that, you know, had we not come prior to the final report and got distinct feedback from all of you on what we were hearing, then the final report might have seemed shocking or even maybe put you off. Have you given any thought to, as we work through the final report in front of a larger crowd, how we might avoid having that sort of knee-jerk negative reaction?
I think that I've thought about this. Point number one is that I want us to be forthcoming. You interviewed 64 people in our community. To the best of our collective knowledge, this is the first time something like this has been undertaken. You've gained certain impressions from those people. I think those impressions are important, but where there's only one person, for instance, who suggested something, I think we've got to be careful not to assume that that's a general feeling of the 64 people you visited with.
Mm-hmm.
So I think as we lay out the results of that survey, what the effect is and what people thought, and we begin to look at it not as Jones thought this, but this is the sense that we derive from our interviews. These are the impressions that we gained as we talked to people who are both business owners as well as consumers.
Great.
Anybody else got a comment along that line?
When I talked to people about this, I told them that it was a survey that was done by you all, and that there was some really, it was really interesting. I said there's some good points and bad points. There's some challenges. There's things to be proud about. There's things that I think are happening in Bisbee that aren't being understood. So I told the people I talked to that this wasn't going to be, you know, a kumbaya moment. It was just going to be, these are things we found out in the survey, and what Bisbee, these 64 people at Bisbee think about us.
Yep. Right, and I think that what you said is key, is that it's not negative, it just, this is the perception that we have to work with, and so what do we need to do about that? And it is too many people to just dismiss it as a perception of one or two. So I think that that's a great approach, which is not that anybody shouldn't feel particularly criticized or feel like it's even negative. We shouldn't even assign positive or negative to it as much as that is the feedback we received. How shall we move forward from here? I think that's an excellent point. Anybody else?
I'm just kind of curious, has the city heard, I mean, I heard the CD because I wasn't here. Has the city heard it? Because I think the city is really a major part of reaction and response to this. And are they going to hear it the first time?
Stan, to the best of my knowledge,
well,
nobody
what,
has heard
what
it.
We did, we shared a tape of your presentation with the mayor and the city manager.
Okay.
The other members of the council, I believe, are going to hear it for the first time. Am I right, Doug? Yes. So okay. That's where we shared it.
Okay. Anybody else have any thoughts again on tone, how we're going to unveil this information to a larger audience?
You know, I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing for people to hear what they might consider negative things about Bisbee for the first time. So I don't, depending on how the structure of this meeting goes and how that gets talked about, that's a whole different thing. But for myself, hearing stuff I wasn't at the presentation, I heard it on CD, and some of it was shocking, and some of it was, oh yeah, sure, and some of it was, oh, I don't know. And I think I'm not going to be, probably typical of people what they hear. And that's a good thing to hear stuff that they don't read or hear from council meetings or from committee meetings or even on Facebook. So I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing to hear that stuff.
I don't either. However, I don't want to underestimate the fact that I've worked with you all for, I mean, there's people here that I've known for 6, 7, 8 years now. So for those of you that will be here that don't know me, don't know the organization, don't know the background, I'm very mindful of not being an outsider from Phoenix coming in with my attitude. So I just don't want it to be perceived that way. So where I was going with this is I think that it would be incredibly helpful if one or two of you would volunteer to talk about why you think this work is important before I even start my talk. And the reason is because I don't want any perception that this is a fly-by-night, it's a, you know, and I'm sensitive to that because as the director of the Rural Development Council, I go around the state and I have to overcome a lot of really negative attitudes of people who assume that I don't really care about rural, that I'm just here for a contract. And Stan, you can attest to the fact that my contract was not really a contract, right? I'm here because of my love for Bisbee. And so I want to make sure that that prevails and that sets the tone for the conversation.
I think we can do that in the introduction of you, and I think we can explain that you have had a relationship with Bisbee over the years, that you're not, you know, someone who just parachuted in to
sure.
give us an impression. I think we can do that. I think we can have one or two of our colleagues speak about that. But it's simply as we welcome people to this meeting that we lay out the fact of who you are, some idea of your resume and of your longtime association, basically as a tourist coming to our city mm-hmm. and visiting our city and having done at one point in time some workshops here.
I also think it's important to bring up the fact that I've owned my own small business for 31 years
right.
now, for context.
I frankly reviewed your resume a couple hours ago, and I think we can
sure.
point out that you are also and presently are also a small business person operating in the Phoenix area.
Right.
We can introduce ourselves to the group as a whole and say in just a few short phrases our support for the project or our thoughts on the project or our goals and ideas and purpose, and just say it in our words, and that way we will have the support of this committee before we start. And the other thing I think is, because there's some things in there that are a little bit shocking, I think these aren't facts, they're perceptions.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if we keep it to perceptions,
mm-hmm.
And some of the jobs that we face, and there was a lot of good things in this group in there too.
Oh yeah, there's a lot.
But mm-hmm. It's not that all 5,382 of us or whatever believe this. This is a survey, and these are perceptions that were captured by a number of people in the survey.
Mm-hmm. Great. That would be very helpful. Absolutely. And I guess just to underscore, the reason I'm taking us on this path right now is because I want to set the right tone to do the work, not because I'm afraid to dodge tomatoes. There's an important distinction there. I'm trying to make sure we get the buy-in that we want in order to be successful in the work, not to get derailed on who said what and where is she from and all of that stuff. So thank you for that. That helps a lot. So I think that there are three key areas that we need to glean from the next steps. One is to decide who's going to take the lead. Will this be a committee-driven project that different teams of people take different parts of the work? Or do you think, I guess, in your best perception, do we need to have this conversation and let them marinate on it before we even start to think about who's going to lead the charge?
Yes, I think because we have a diverse group coming, there are leaders that we don't even know who they are, who are going to pop up. So what I would like to do, my own thoughts about this, is having those people, once they've heard the presentation, who are interested in working on this type of thing, working on some form of where BSBE is going to be going type thing, sign up. And then that will give us an indication of people who have at least exhibited some interest. And
okay.
Then from there, we can have some organizational meetings centered around various topics. And then I would let the committee select who the chairman is. Not our committee, but the groups that are working.
I think that's dispersing it pretty far.
I'm not quite
sure what the outcomes are going to be, or the outcomes are going to be. So I think it's really important that this is the first step of the presentation. When people ask me, I couldn't tell them exactly what our expectations of their involvement.
Well, the way I'm envisioning this is that we would have food and we would encourage socializing. Our role as the people who are already privy to this will be to make introductions for people that don't know one another, to set the tone as very positive in the room. And then we will have the presentation, and I think that we'll have large sticky note things around the room and little post-it notes where people can, each of the sticky notes will have a different area of work, and they will have sticky notes where they can either say, I am willing to work on this, I'm interested to learn more, or if they want to share a thought or idea they didn't hear, that they would have the ability to put it up on the wall with sticky notes. And to me, that would be a great next meeting if we can just get that far. And then we might have some names of people. Some people might not do anything, but other people might sign up, and then we can at least get things going and circle back with some of the others that did not leave their name or information as wanting to continue the dialogue.
And all of us who contacted people can go back to them too.
Sure, absolutely. Right. But I think we need to provide, so there's going to be some people who are like, yes, I'm ready to get going, and we need to, you know, give them the ability to add thoughts, ideas, and leave their contact information about next steps. And then there are going to be those that are pondering it, they're more reflective, they want to think it through before they commit to anything, and we'll need to follow up with them. Are we in agreement on all that? Okay. So the next thing we need to discuss is how it's going to be funded. And Stan and I, you know, we've talked about this. So far, you've received about roughly $12,000 worth of influx of funding from us. You've contributed, Stan, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it's $3,000.
We have contributed nothing to your efforts at this point.
You committed $3,000, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
To this point, right. But
That commitment
correct.
Is subject, you must understand, the way we will operate, we will, as a committee, decide when we receive a proposal, the way I want to do it, is we'll circulate the proposal under the Arizona Open Meeting Law. We'll circulate the proposal amongst committee members. We'll get feedback at our February 21st meeting. We will then decide to move forward. Then we have to then go to the city council to determine if it's more than $5,000, do we want to spend this, and does the city council agree with us that we want to do that?
Right.
So that will be the mechanism of how we go forward working. We realize that you have and your associates have put a good bit of time into this already. And coming out of a consulting background, I understand that.
Sure.
And
I thought we made a monetary commitment to cover this.
You did to this point. Yes, so we divided it into two phases. Phase one, it was a $9,000 commitment contribution from us and a $3,000 commitment from you, and I believe you already ran that through the whole process. Whether or not I actually invoiced you, Stan, I believe that we did, and I thought we got a check, but I'll go back and double check that.
You only invoiced us for the work done to buy locally, that campaign.
That was for the printing.
Right.
Okay. I'm going all the way back to like last September, but
I don't have an invoice
sure. Okay.
from you for us. We do know how much money we have available in the Economic Development Fund, but we again will be based on a proposal from you in terms of how much more money is going to be required.
Correct. So we're just making sure that we're clear that there's phase one and phase two. Phase one has already been decided. We're just discussing for the first time now phase two.
Right.
Now I've sat down and looked at it, and I think there's a few different scenarios. One is that a very basic approach, and I'll put these in a proposal to you, Stan, but I just want the committee to hear it now. A basic approach would be I would help facilitate the next few community meetings, help get some committees set up, and then let the IBISB committee run it. And that would be a bare bones approach to how we get to the next step. Then there's a middle step where I would be much more involved and engaged with those committees. And then there's a final step in which we would be fully involved from start to finish over the next few years. And I think that you all need to make a decision, get in your mind about what our participation looks like. I don't know what the budget is, I have no idea, but from the general sense that I've received, I'm not quite sure that you're prepared to commit to option two or option three. So I'm going to put them in front of you and let you all discuss and decide. But I mean, option three could be a $20,000 commitment over, you know, the next 18 months to 2 years of ongoing facilitation, coaching, input, feedback. And really, I anticipate that it won't be additional surveys as much as there will be a flood of people who want to share their ideas and input that weren't interviewed the first time. Once they hear this, my opinion is that they're going to be contacting me with more information and feedback because they're going to feel like, hey, I wasn't interviewed, that kind of a thing. So you need to be prepared for that. And I'll send you a proposal.
I think in your proposal, I would request that you lay out the expense for each of the various options, and then we'll decide as a committee as we move forward. Like, as I sit here, I want to know what the end objective is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
If we hit a home run, what is it going to look like? Or if we hit a single, what is it going to look like?
Mm-hmm.
Using a baseball analogy.
Okay. Okay, and the final thing that this committee will need to do is to talk about the timeline. How soon do you want to get started with this community meeting?
Why don't we look at it this way? We know the steps we will take. At the February 21st meeting, we'll decide whether to move forward or not move forward, and which of the options that we'd like to elect.
Okay.
Then the next meeting, or not the next meeting, we'll then use it as an action item as we move forward. Then we will move forward to the city council, working with our council liaison, Douglas Dunn, to put it on the agenda for city council review and approval of the money that we're requesting. So that money can, in fact, then be sequestered and held with the full knowledge that it's earmarked.
Great. Okay.
So the earliest that it could get started, given that if everything went right and we said yes, go ahead and continue, the first time that could come before the council will be the first Tuesday in March.
Okay.
And so...
What kind of start time after that do you need? Because I'd like to do this soon, too.
Everybody wants to do it soon.
I think if we could have an answer by the first Tuesday in March, we could schedule and have that community meeting by certainly by the end of March.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Let's figure on that timeline then. That's a good timeline. We'll try to get this thing in motion. If all the pieces go together right and the council approves everything, and
great.
Let's try to shoot for getting a meeting done by the end of March, the first, whatever we're going to do.
Great.
Rob, is there a better day to have a meeting on?
No, I can't see it.
You don't think so?
No, just as quick as possible.
So we're going to have to look at your calendar and figure out what you can do. Knowing
sure.
You've got a couple months to.
But
I think we need to isolate a date towards the middle or end of March.
Let me be clear about what we're talking about. We're talking about, if all goes to that, you would give a presentation to a number of people that we've submitted on the list, and maybe some other invitees.
Correct.
That's what would happen at the end of March if all goes well?
Right.
Okay.
So I will send some proposed dates along with the proposal. Now that I have a sense of the timeline on your end, I also think something to consider is how much lead time the attendees will need. So we certainly shouldn't send out any invitations until we have the feedback from the council and a clear plan. So if that happens the second Tuesday in March, is it sufficient to give folks 2 weeks lead time to attend a community meeting?
We can have the email that's going to go out inviting them already set to go.
We sure can. Yeah. Okay.
So a 2 week lead time is plenty.
Great.
Given the community.
Okay.
And if we're going to end up serving food, that normally will bring more people.
The whole town will show.
Okay. Those were the things that were on my agenda for today. Does anyone from the committee have anything else?
Based on what you've done so far, what do you see the end result of this would be?
The end result of the work will be that we will see an increased, let me start with, we will have a solidified, image of Bisbee that is consistent amongst residents and visitors. And from that, we will increase the rate of return to Bisbee. We will increase the amount of visitation from Bisbee. We will increase the amount of discussion happening about Bisbee is the place to be. And you will have people that, you know, I know that many people say there's a lot of return repeat business here, but You know, I would still love to do that survey that I proposed on the outside. Go to Tucson and Phoenix and say, what's your perception of Bisbee? I think that would be a really important part of the next step, and I'll put that in the proposal. But I think that you will see that there are, I know in my personal conversations, at least 50% of the people that I talked to had a bad experience in Bisbee. And that is generally related around customer service or inconsistencies, lack of communication, all of those kinds of things. So I'll include that because I do think it's imperative that we sync the image of Bisbee to the people who live here and the people who don't live here but who visit here. Because right now I think there's a whole group of people who think that Bisbee was the a destination for folks who wanted the history, heritage, that sort of thing. And now there's a whole new group that thinks that Bisbee is a party town. And those two groups, I'm not saying we have to choose one or the other, but I think in the general marketing, we need to have a cohesive plan. And I think that part of developing that plan is that we still need to get more perceptions from the outside. I think I mentioned to you, Kathy, and maybe to you, Fred, too, when we did that marketing thing with 800 grocery stores in Phoenix and people could choose a weekend getaway between Pine Top, Cottonwood, and Bisbee, you came in a solid third. I mean, it was significantly lower than the other two, and that just... that bothers me personally. You know, like, why? What is that perception? What's that?
What was the three towns?
Cottonwood, Pine Top, and Bisbee.
I don't know if it's true or not. I have a perception that Phoenix thinks going up.
And I've heard that, and I'd like to put that in the survey. When you, why don't you think of going to Bisbee? Do you realize what the weather is like in Bisbee? Those types of things. So we can get to the root of that, you know.
Would it be helpful? One of your recommendations from your discussion in November was that we have a way of surveying people who are coming to Bisbee,
yes,
what their impressions of Bisbee are. Would it be helpful if we organize that both in both visitor centers to
absolutely
get people's impressions?
Would. Yeah, absolutely it would. And I think making sure that people have... Yeah, my thought was to literally put an old mailbox that's cute decorated and put, you know, tell us what you think so that people can anonymously leave you a note. I think that would be the way to go.
What about doing something like at the visitor centers having a box that you could put your email address in and then we could do a MailChimp kind of survey after they've already left?
Well, I'm even thinking of just a more of a random survey, Kathy, that picks up people who've been here and people who haven't been here, because I want them both. I mean, that'll be the first question, so we can divide them into two camps. But I also want to know if you live in Arizona and you haven't been to Bisbee, why not? What is your problem? I mean, it's really annoying to me that there are people when you where's Bisbee? You know, it's. We shouldn't have that. We just shouldn't have that at all. Everybody, it should be a rite of passage when you move anywhere in Arizona. You should know what all the cool little towns are, right? And so what is that perception?
Rob just shook his head, yes. The coffee shop is a good place to put that type of questionnaire.
Mm-hmm.
People will come rain or shine, and they will have coffee. Can we do that in your...
Absolutely. We used to have a survey just like that. Gave away a free magnet for the results.
You gave away a free what?
A free magnet, a Bisbee magnet.
Oh, cool.
Just for something for, you know, to pay him back for filling out the survey. Who would come up with the questions?
You want questions or do you want blanks? What would you like?
My initial thought was just leave it open for people to just simply tell us.
Open-ended. Tell us what
open-ended. It's different than the survey that I'm talking about, which will be very structured. This is just to get feedback. I also would hesitate to give people a magnet for this, mm-hmm. because I think you're going to skew your results by people feeling like they have to say something nice because you're trying to give them a magnet.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Do different locations.
Why don't we just set up two?
And move it around.
Yeah.
Sure. Mm-hmm. We'll get started on construction.
Okay. Awesome.
Okay. Can we make that happen within the next week?
The box?
A week?
Give me at least 2 weeks.
2 weeks. Okay. Great.
Okay.
Great.
I'm not a metal worker.
I'm not a metal worker.
I know somebody
either.
Who is.
Okay. So that's a done deal.
Great. Does anybody else have anything for me? I've covered everything that I wanted to get feedback from you on.
I think your proposal has also got to show who will be working on this project.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But the outcomes are really going to be key. And I'd like to look at what the outcomes will be based on each of the proposals, each mm-hmm. of the cost proposals.
Well, I think in option A, I'll just say quite frankly, I cannot predict the outcomes because I'm not going to be here. It's going to be up to you. That is just the reality.
Sure.
I can organize and facilitate a meeting or two, but once those committees are formed, you know, you're going to have to fan those flames and keep people motivated and all that. And I can't put an outcome in there, but I will for the ones that I'm engaged with. I just want to make sure that you're aware and clear that you have the option. You do not have to engage me going forward or the Arizona Rural Development Council going forward, other than just these next few key transition points.
I think it would
points.
Be helpful in your proposal. I don't want to have you write a tope, so I'm going to be careful here. But it also would be helpful to indicate where you've done this type of work
sure.
in other communities
mm-hmm.
and what their outcome is. I know that you did work in Pine Top. I don't know if it was as extensive as we're laying out now.
This one is about the same as Pine Top. It's more extensive than what I did in Cottonwood.
It is more extensive.
Extensive than Cottonwood's was. But again, and you know, I just started having this conversation, Cottonwood had a sudden influx of about 3 to 5 young entrepreneurs with a ton of energy, no pressure, and it transitioned the whole town. It transitioned the whole town. And so it was one of those things where I gave it a good shove, and pretty soon it was just a matter of a partnership where we were doing weekend getaways and bringing people in, and the customer service was out there, and they were just driving the whole thing on their own. I'm optimistic we're starting to turn a corner. You know, that's a big challenge, I think, is that you have a lot of business owners that are hobbyists that don't need to earn a living, and they don't really care if you come back. I mean, that's the reality.
Well, Will, you've listened so far. What is your impression so far?
I'm very excited to see the report. I think I need to catch up because I just got the CDs.
Yes.
We have to inform you, Will just got sworn in tonight.
I understand. I understand.
We've got to be fair to Will here.
Yeah.
But I do feel like the entrepreneurial push can be really powerful.
Absolutely, it can.
And I'd love to chat
sure.
about what I've been seeing and why I'm here.
Yeah, I would love that.
Any other questions for Kimber?
Our next meeting is February
21st.
I'm wondering if you can get a proposal to us within, you know,
yep.
2 weeks to 20 days or something, so we at least have something to chew on, and we'll be prepared to really thoroughly discuss it at our next meeting.
Yeah, I can get you that proposal at least 2 weeks before the 21st. I don't think I can do it 2 weeks from today.
No, that will work, and we will circulate
at least
it to the
to
committee.
10 days with the proposal in our hands, so we can discuss it.
You got it.
If we go forward, there's a whole timeline thing attached to it. So we're going to have a very substantive discussion next meeting about it.
Great. Okay.
We're going to let you get back to Phoenix.
Okay. Thank you all.
Thank you very, very much.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
We look forward to working with you, Kimber. Good. Okay, I want to move on to our next item, which is a presentation and discussion and possible action tonight by Carrie Gustafson regarding the new Arts and Cultural District. The action may be our recommendation to the City Council to approve this and move forward. If they don't have to, then we won't have any action items.
No action.
No action.
Just a presentation.
Okay, can I just, do I just sit here?
Yeah, wherever you want to sit.
Okay, so I can see that one. It works. Okay, to start with, this is when we started this whole discussion, and I'll say right up front, even though I've been working for a couple of years to bring art and history together in Bisbee, David Smith is the one that came up with the concept of the Arts and Culture District and started me in that direction. And he also started, did the research with the creative economy and creative placemaking, and I brought, we're bringing those together. But as a starting point, this is the National Endowment of the Arts definition of an Arts and Culture District. And it's basically a recognized area that has a lot of cultural stuff in it. And we have that in the Historic District of Bisbee. We were created by city ordinance a year ago, and the district itself overlays the Historic District of Bisbee. This is a very common pairing. You see it all over the United States from small towns that have historic districts. I was just stunned at how many millions of dollars California is now investing in creating arts and culture districts in smaller town historic cores. It's interesting, too, that in Arizona, the state has nothing to do with arts and culture districts. A lot of other states, they go through the state arts council. So here in Arizona, we can be created by ordinance, and we were. And it was the first ordinance of last year, which is kind of cool. We made a decision very early on that we didn't want to be government or for-profit, so it is brought under the Bisbee Council on the Arts and Humanities. This is the private nonprofit governing authority, basically of the museum. But we have a long tradition of supporting under our umbrella other affiliates. And examples of those right now are the Friends of the Warren Ballpark, who did the Bisbee Community Chorus for a long time, the Bisbee Poetry Festival for a long time. So we have a long tradition of this. We created a committee. One of the things we did first off is invited Lori McKenna, who's the director of the Central School Project, to join our board of directors as the liaison between this committee and the board. So this committee serves under the umbrella of the Bisbee Council on the Arts and Humanities. We asked everybody we knew, we talked to people, we sent it out on social media, we put it in newspapers. At the beginning, we had about 20, 25 people that wanted to join the committee. We thought it would be great if we were inclusive and we invited everybody, which is a committee of herding cats in a way, but it's kind of paring down to people that are really, want to do something like this and get involved. And I must admit, it's a really wonderful, diverse group of people with lots of ideas and energy. And like I said, sometimes the committee meetings are just like, what? But it all comes down, and I'm really honored to work with these people. I think it's, we had some challenges, and a lot of us are employed, but we're getting there. The first thing we decided to do, and it sounds, when I made this presentation, it sounds like we're so organized, but we worked on two things, and who are we and what do we want to be? And that was a lot of discussion. And so we decided we're going to go into the mission, purpose, core values, vision, and just go through that exercise. And a couple of our members really were helpful. Fran and I went out, for example, and did homework on what are other arts and culture districts doing in terms of goals and core values and whatnot. And Charles Bethay, with his arts administration background, came in and really helped on this. So this is our mission statement that we've decided on. I think it's short and sweet and nice. This is our purpose. Basically, all the discussion came around to taking what we have and who we are And keeping that, and keeping the vibrancy of that, but bring in a little bit more of an economic revitalization purpose. We're losing population. We want to start working, you know, to that. And this is where the whole creative economy, creative placemaking sort of concept comes in and in a way parallels us. So we're borrowing features of that. So that's our purpose statement. And if you have 20 people to agree on a one-sentence purpose statement, you've done a good job. These are our core values. As I understand it, if we were doing a business plan, these would be our assets. This is who we are. This is what we have. This is why an arts and culture district in Bisbee is so exciting, because we have so much to work off of. We already have this stuff. And when we were working on this, I really loved the verbs that were coming out to embrace and encourage and welcome, cultivate and support. I think this is, I work up in Old Bisbee, I live up in Old Bisbee. I have the best job in town because I'm a museum director and my job is peddling pride in our community. So I see all of this stuff and I think it's really strong in our community, even though sometimes it might take a little curve off for a while, but I really like these. And this is, again, all of us working together to bring in multiple perspectives. Working off the core values, this is the vision that as a committee we worked. And again, I really liked the verbs that were coming into this to celebrate, attract, ensure, serve. And it's broad enough to where it gives us opportunity to help cultivate new ideas, if that's what we want to do, to help preserve ideas. In the discussions, what I was really happy to see, because I deal in the history and heritage, was to protect the historic district in our history as well. And this is the true blending, I think, when we look at this vision of taking arts and history and bringing it together. So have you all read that? Because I'm not going to read it for you. Okay, after we very less organized in this presentation, we decided that what we really needed to do was work on our branding. And it really came down to two questions, even though our conversations had probably 300 questions in them. But one is, how do we blend our mining heritage culture with the arts? And the second is, how do we let people know that we have an arts and culture district and they're actually in it? So we have a couple of ideas. The first one was we wanted to create a distinctive logo. And now, was it 2 years ago or three? iBISB initiated the rebranding. I know that Kathy and I worked on that. Jen Luria was a principal in that. And we have this wonderful rebranding going on. We wanted to make sure that we continued that brand and strengthened the brand. And we're hoping that more and more people who deal with citywide efforts, whether you're private, nonprofit, or for-profit, will catch on to, let's try and make this brand strong. And one of the things we're going to be discussing at our Monday meeting is, we don't yet own these graphics. I still have to raise some money for it. But we want to go to businesses about any of your social media marketing, you know, to put this logo in it, put the moniker, perhaps, of located in Bisbee's Arts and Culture District. Things like this, we might even go to like a sticker or something. But this won't cost anybody anything once we have paid our graphic artist. And Bridget Shanahan and Jen have worked on this, and all these people that helped on this they've done it gratis so far. But I am raising money that we will not use their work until it's paid for.
How much money are you paying?
It's going to be a little, for this whole thing I'm doing, the art installation and the
no, just for the logo.
For the logo, $800. Because what she's doing is, it's not just a logo on letterhead or a website. She's making it so that we can put it on three-dimensional objects, three-dimensional sculpture. We can do it with backlighting, things like that. So it's a broad use. Jen showed up with this wonderful idea of little street signs. And this is very simple to do. She's going to pull together information for me, hopefully for our Monday meeting, on how many we need and what they cost. And we thought with this to do an adopt-a-sign program. And the people I've talked to so far are really excited about it, because I don't think it will be expensive. You'll see here that we're keeping that the logo elements. When we worked on our logo, we've had different fonts, different colors. I didn't ask Jen to, or Bridget to go back and re-put the font in and all of that. But we will be using that first logo piece you saw, that the font and the pieces of that are the logo. Well, it's going to be that. It's just that the Arts and Culture District will be in the other font. Again, with David starting this whole initiative, I helped him with some PowerPoints when he was running for mayor, and I found this picture that I just loved, and it's the entrance to the Pittsburgh Culture District, and I just thought it was fun and welcoming and, you know, come on in, have a seat. And I thought, how can we do this and make it Bisbee? And it's going to get a little complex because we have a working model. We don't have the actual final draft project to show you, but how can we make that Bisbee? So the first thing we did is Bisbee's a town that Copper built, and I don't think anyone here can dispute that, and that I want to make sure that comes into our story. We also have this wonderful creative energy of our arts community. So I pulled this slide together with some pictures from our archives of just kind of the equipment people used and what actual mining workplace looked like. Poe was just sketching away. And so this idea was coming that let's just bring this art and mining together. Again, Poe's donated his time on this. So the three things we wanted to do, we wanted to make a welcoming art installation that I'm hoping, with approval of God and every committee that I need to go to, we can do in Grassy Park, that will provide seating as well. But the one thing we want in this, and I hope you remember, is the seating, the logo, and the mining heritage, all combined in an art installation. And we're thinking kind of big. So what I did is, Robert Quintanar, Poe and I, brought us down to the motor shops and electric shops and the timber shops down at the Copper Queen Branch Yard. They have this coolest little mining timber cars. They're about 48 inches long, about 18 inches tall. And we just looked at those going, wouldn't that be a great base for the seating? And I just went online and found examples of, I think I Googled retro metal garden chairs. Mm-hmm. I am not a graphic artist, so I just cut the legs off. But the idea is to put the seating and start integrating it with these really super cool timber ore cars. And they would fit two seats perfectly. You worked before. It's not working.
Point up there.
Ah, there it is. I think a lot of people have not really experienced how cool old mining equipment artifact forms are. I'm a tomboy, so I love this stuff. But I went back in with Robert and just took some photographs of the kind of equipment and artifact pieces we could work with and eventually incorporate into this whole sculpture that's going to provide the seating and a mining sculpture around it. They're just really cool forms, and all these shops are just full of this stuff. So here's the little model that, I have it right here, that was built from a Rector set. The final project is not going to be in a Rector set. Mm-hmm. But you can see how we're trying to bring the elements in. We have some mining artifacts. We're bringing in the seating on the mine cars. We will have the Arts and Culture District in there in black and white. This was one of the earlier versions where we were looking at a copper background for it. But it brings that three elements of the logo, the seating, and the mining together. And what I'm hoping people can understand is, again, this is a working model of how we can piece stuff together. And I think
that's cool.
We're hoping to put it in Grassy Park.
Yeah, that's cool.
And one of the cool things about Grassy Park, when I studied it, when we redid the park, is it's kind of this really cool urban park that is broken up into pieces.
So even though there's quite a bit of art in there, you're not stumbling over it. And so this is our idea for it. And I think that's my last slide, is this one. There are so many ideas out of this committee. We just decided to make a short presentation of the ideas we have. And that's it.
Good. Very good.
And this is the ultra cool model. I played with an erector set when I was a little girl, and I'm just in love with this.
Let me ask the committee, do you have any questions for Carrie as we move forward?
Great. When do you anticipate the logo being available? Because I'd love to put it on my marketing stuff. And I'll pay to do it. Not big love, but I'll pay for it.
As soon as I get $800 to pay for it, it's ready to go.
Because I'm going to be printing the art block maps, reprinting those.
Hold off until we get it. We're going to talk. We're going to talk at our, we have our next Arts and Culture District Committee meeting this coming Monday. Our meetings are normally the third Monday of the month, but since the third Monday was a three-day weekend, we shifted it to the fourth.
Well, Bridget does, and maybe she's going to be on the fourth.
No, I'm pretty strict. And when I was working with, well, when you and I were working with the rebranding, you don't bleed your artists to death.
No, we don't have any money, though. There's no budget at all.
This is a totally volunteer thing. And but we have committee members that are motivated. I made a commitment to raise funding for the logo and this art installation. There's a lot of other ideas out there that committee members are going to have to step forward if they wanted to. It's great coming up with ideas, but you've got to roll up your sleeves and make them happen.
Any other questions for Carrie? Carrie, I think the committee understands as you're trying to raise $800.
Actually, I'm trying to raise about $20,000.
Well,
Logos first.
Step number one is to raise $800.
You can make checks out to the Bisbee Council on the Arts and Humanities.
Is it a write-up?
Yes.
You might want to post that on Facebook.
It is. We are a 501c4.
501c4.
Maybe a GoFundMe.
Okay.
Not for $800.
I think the members understand that you're trying to raise money, and we'll help you.
I'm not here to ask you for money, Randy. No. What I'm here is, this was something we talked about a year ago. This is something that David made a commitment to as mayor. This is something that, is, the more I researched it, I got excited about it. This is something that this really diverse, incredible committee is excited about, and we wanted to kind of take this out for a spin. This is the first showing of how thoroughly organized our work looks when, in hindsight.
Okay. Are there any other questions? Yes, Mayor.
If I could interrupt, say, first of all, the city is really embracing these concepts. These are our business cards.
Okay.
Nice. Nice, let me pass it around. Very good, very good.
And I personally would like to rent out for $800.
I'm going to do the same, Carrie. So now you need $600.
No, I need $500. Going once.
Go fund me for the total amount.
Okay.
I have another source I'm talking to.
Okay. We developed this.
But I just wanted you guys to be on board. I wanted... I'm going to be presenting this to City Council. I want them to be on board. Because we are a private nonprofit organization, we don't need to run around obeying all governmental bureaucratic laws. We just have to obey the guidelines for nonprofits.
Good. I want to move on to our next item, which is an update regarding the low-income senior housing project. Freeport Mac Moran has come up with a wonderful piece of land on Highway 92 between the area that we looked at and the transfer station. It's 15 acres of land. It looks very doable. It will meet all of the requirements regarding the points which we've discussed. It was within 2 miles of the grocery store, senior center, And more importantly, it's 1.6 miles to the hospital. When the next several weeks, people from the Foundation for Senior Living will come to town, will look at that land, then we will immediately order a title search. This is one guy who wants no more surprises. So we will make sure that that land is unencumbered, and then we will move forward with surveys of that land with the idea that that land would be transferred to the city upon the closing of an agreement for funding of the low-income housing project. It will be then transferred from the city council to the Foundation for Senior Living. So the project is moving forward. Can I promise you that we will turn dirt this year? No, but we're certainly trying to move forward with it.
Stan?
Yes.
Can we backtrack? Is it legal to backtrack one thing and just ask if this committee can endorse?
That was why I had the action item in there.
I didn't think of, you know, we don't need approval so much as maybe endorsement, so when I go to the next presentation, I can say...
Very good. The chair of the committee is going to take the option of moving back to item number 3 on our agenda and ask the committee for a vote to endorse the project for the cultural district, arts and cultural district. I open for discussion. Any discussion?
What specifically are we endorsing?
We're endorsing this project and we're endorsing to move forward with the project.
And the direction that we're taking as a committee with a vision, mission, et cetera.
Any questions or comments? Do I have a motion to move forward with this?
I move to endorse the Arts and Cultural District as the IBISB committee.
Good. Do we have a second to that motion?
Second.
Second is prepared for. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed, same sign. The motion passes. You are endorsed. We will now move forward to the next item on our agenda, which is a report or a discussion of the bicycle trail project.
I really have nothing more to share.
Okay. That's fair. Any update on the trails project, Fred?
The update is that while I was in the hospital, I had asked someone to go on the trail, not only the one that we cleared with the Boy Scouts, but a new one up on the other side of the highway, other side of 80. Unfortunately, he was not able to do it. He had some family stuff. He got another job. He's a nursing student. And it turns out that they're going to move moving out of town in May, so because they got to get down to Denver.
Yep.
So I feel I'm healthy enough that I can go back on trails. I'm going to talk to Doug a little bit, and we'll try to rope in a couple other experienced hikers and people particularly experienced with GPS, so that we can map out some stuff, and then we can go to Robert and then talk turkey with him a little bit. And I do want to go up on the trail that we have cleared, that's overlooking Warren, and just take a look at it and see whether it stood up over the last year and a half.
I think we, by the way, with Robert we're talking about is Robert Quintanara, the head of the Freeport-McMoRan here in the city. I think that we need to talk to Robert and see if we can't move that forward, because that's a wonderful trail. It makes sense. And they've now had enough time, hopefully, to clear that mining equipment, so.
Yeah, I think so. And I think before we talk to them, we need to have somebody that's willing to be guides for the trail.
Absolutely.
You're not going to let people go up there by themselves.
Right.
But if somebody can do a little business, or the mining museum might hire somebody to do some trail guidance to show off the mining.
I got plenty
stuff.
Of money. Just yeah. Grows on trees.
No. I mean, that people would pay to go on a hike. And they would pay the mining museum.
Well, this is an idea that we might be able to present to the Clean Mine Foundation folks, if you're looking at
I'm looking.
I thought this was just something that was going to be there that people could use just by signing in and going.
No, we can't.
That's not working.
Freeport lawyers have mixed up.
Oh,
because they're afraid that people will go down over the bluff and down into who knows where.
What about the Sioux Canyon one? Is that Nick? When
no, that's not.
Very so, good, Fred. It's good to hear that you're going to be able to continue working on this project.
Yeah.
We're delighted. We're delighted the surgery was good.
You too.
I now want to move to a roundtable discussion of current events and anything going on in the city. Rob, anything going on?
Well, the Copper Cream Plaza continues to move forward on rebranding. You've probably seen some photographs and pictures in the building. That rebranding effort is going to continue with a name change, first part to the Mercantile, centered around the person that built it. And then from the Mercantile, you're going to see some things changing on the inside, and then hopefully some continue moving those throughout the season. So we have the financial support to do that, and so now this year we'll be doing that.
Nice. Very nice.
The PD Mercantile.
The PD Mercantile.
I like it. I like it.
The police department Mercantile.
Anybody else got comments? How's our business community doing?
It's starting to pick up. It's better than last January. It's not hot, but I think it's because we had so much snow last year. I think that people are out a little bit more early in January because we're like 40% ahead of last January. But it wasn't a great January, so
okay.
I think the weather's really helped us out a lot.
I think it's colder up in the Midwest, too.
Yeah, so and that always is a boost, because it snowed last Christmas, and it stayed icy and cold for quite a while.
Yeah.
Are you ahead, too, Rob?
Yeah, ahead, too. It's good, yeah.
Just kind of a rundown of some things. I talked with the manager of Safeway. He was at the bar a couple weeks ago at Roca. And he's aware of the problem of prescription problem in the pharmacy, not being able to fulfill sometimes, not being able to fulfill same day prescriptions. He's aware of that problem. I asked him if I could help, and he says, "Well, you know, on the back of your Safeway ticket, there's a little thing that you can contact their headquarters and write him a letter." So I will probably do that, and I encourage anybody else to do that too, because as Kimber noted in her presentation, when people can't get something filled at the pharmacy, they go to Sierra Vista. While they're in Sierra Vista, they not only get their pharmacy their prescription filled, but they get all their shopping and everything done. So that's money going out of Bisbee. So that's one thing, is if you go to Safeway and you get a little ticket and it says, you know, make some comments to them and just tell them that the pharmacy is not doing as well as it should be. They have a new manager, and he's not very good. The second thing is they're just in downtown Old Bisbee, there continues to be a kind of churn. I have no idea what's happening at 35 Main. There was a sign up for a brief time. There's no sign up now, so I don't know what's happening with those buildings.
Is this one of Lester's buildings?
Yeah.
I understand that. Is that the one with the big illustrations?
That's where What's-His-Name used to be, has his antique store that was never opened.
Oh, Jim's Place?
Jim's Place, yeah.
Well,
35 is two separate storefronts, but they're apartments
spans
both of
them. Right,
okay, so
it's next to the bank.
Yeah, so it's next to the bank, so that's...
I heard that he put a stop on some buildings, but I don't know why.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what's happening, but it's too bad because it's a big vacant spot right there. Czar Mindels whatever they're called now, moved out of the old Penny building, and so somebody else has signed a contract to move in there.
Okay.
So that there's some Main Street churn going on. 28 Main, there's some people in there doing some remodeling, although the sign is down, so I don't know whether somebody bought it or not.
You have to use the historic names for me to know which building you're talking about.
What?
Bill Johnson, you
like
building.
The old Subway Gallery.
It's not the Subway Gallery. It's the one, the Mystic Shop.
Source Within.
Source Within was next to the Subway Gallery.
That's been vacant a long time.
Yeah, it has been. And then there was a sign up, and then they took the sign down, and I think there's been some remodeling action going on inside. So there's stuff happening. There's still 1, 2, 3, I think, I don't know whether anybody is set up in where, right by Peddler's Alley, but there's three storefronts that are still vacant.
Yeah, there's none.
Which isn't, and that 3-5 thing is really bad.
Peddler's Alley, that's Poco's opening, a little.
Poco is doing it, yeah, so I'm not sure what was happening there. There's been a lot of inquiries. I've had three people talk to me about opening a wine tasting. I know they've talked to Rob, different people have talked to Rob. There's other people that have been looking for stuff. There's somebody that, from a resident of Bisbee that's talked to me about opening a wine tasting thing. And I says, well, it's a, you know, you can't do it as a part-time thing. It's got to be a full-time job because there's a lot of licensing going that's very, quite complex when you're dealing with liquor and stuff. So there is interest in wine stuff, and I really welcome something like that to augment what the tasting room that we already have, because we can use that as wine destination stuff too in marketing. So.
That would be good. Will, you now are on our committee. You've now been in business for a couple days.
My sales are up.
Your sales are up.
It's been great so far. I'm learning a lot about the people coming in, their expectations, what they're buying, what they care about, some of the different demographics. So I'm very excited to listen, and I'm surprised to hear that people are having a bad experience, because that's not what I'm hearing. Mm-hmm. But I've only, again, I haven't spent much time. I guess I should give an update on my building. So the Classic Rock Couture store was rented from me with Claire. So if you, I don't know if you guys have seen that. There's two stores in the 29 Main Street, the Henninger building.
That's a different building.
Yep. And so that's exciting because I found and I met Claire in Tucson, and she has a very successful online business, and she loves Bisbee, and I thought it'd be a great idea for her to come down and try a store out. And so she just got started, and it's her first time doing a store, so you know, anyone who can come in and support her would be great. And people love it. I mean, what I've been seeing, she's selling shirts and vintage clothing and 70s and 80s inspired things. And then yeah, so that's kind of my update. I'm happy to answer any questions. You know, I don't want to steal the spotlight.
David, do you have a question? Absolutely. Mayor, the floor is yours.
Well, you were talking about businesses and so forth. I wanted to let you know that I had a meeting with Bruce DuPont late last week, and he's the owner of the Warner Hotel. And he is presently finishing up a project in Williams, Arizona. He bought an old school up there, and it's turned into apartments. He will be, when that is finished, he is coming back to Bisbee. My meeting had to do quite bluntly with sewer fees that the city's been charging him for when he hasn't had a sewer in 16 years. And so I will be taking care of that hurdle. And with that, what he's looking at is developing the Warner back into a boutique hotel, where he's taking three rooms, dividing the middle room into bathrooms. In conjunction with that, for those that don't know, the American Legion is back building again. They're ripping out the insides, refurbishing it. They got a few bucks, lots of donations, a few bucks for the National Legion. And they're hoping to have that open and operating by the end of the year. So that'll add more stuff to subway and to the main area. But I think the Warner Hotels will be a possibility. We won't be able to start it until the end of this year, early 19, because of the Williams project. But it is on the drawing board for it.
Good. Any other comments? I'll stand for a motion for adjournment.
So moved.
All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Okay, very good. Our next meeting is February 21st, and we know what our first agenda item will be.
Yes.